Hello, everybody, and welcome to South of King's Landing, the Exposure Network's Game of Thrones after show. My name is Dylan Blight. Joining me, Ashley Hobley.
Hey, Dylan. Excited to be here to talk about episode 69 of Game of Thrones.
Oh, it is too, isn't it? Yeah, I forgot that was a thing. I did see people bring that up on Twitter, considering that...
Because they didn't release the name of the episode, and it wasn't on HBO.
Ah, okay. That's dun, why. Dun, dun. All behind all secrety stuff. So it's episode 69. It's also known as episode 2 of season 8, titled A Knight of Seven Kingdoms. Of the Seven Kingdoms, sorry. Directed by David Nutter, who also did the premiere last week, and written by Brian Cogman. This week's episode is pretty much the proper Last Supper before everything starts going to shit. We thought last week's episode was kind of this, hey, look at all these characters interacting that haven't seen each other for a long time.
Yay. Type
of
thing.
It seemed, looking at this one, it's like that was getting them in the door, and this episode really is the Last Supper before shit just goes off. And this episode just has this constant feel of, yeah, this is the last time you're going to see the characters have like calm conversations like this, because after this
there's a lot of these characters you're not going to see again
after the next episode. After this, everything's going on. So while a lot happens in this episode, it's mostly just characters interacting, characters talking.
Yeah,
not too much really big plot wise or even character story wise apart from a couple
a lot
key
happens.
Things like a lot happens but not
but
a
nothing
lot
consequential.
Yeah, or apart from like Character story-wise, I guess a couple things happen. But like when it comes to the plot, nothing, really. Nothing happens. Yeah. Like when it comes to the plot, the only thing that literally moves forward from last episode is them arriving there, going, hey, the White Walkers run away, and then the episode ending with them on the end. That's pretty much all it moves forward plot-wise. The entire episode is character-driven, which I loved, I'll say. Absolutely. Yeah. Loved seeing all these characters intro. Now, you know how I feel about last season? Fan service-y. This doesn't feel fan service-y. This feels earned. This feels necessary somewhat. And I would say that this is probably my top 10 Game of Thrones episodes of all time. I loved it from start to finish. How did you feel about it?
Yeah, I feel similar. I think it's just one of those episodes where you just get to live with the characters for a moment. And the other things aren't totally important. It's just sort of delving into them and sort of living in that moment, I guess, that one night. So yeah, I thought it was really special.
I feel like a lot of the last season was the last couple seasons somewhat has been just building up this much faster pace, and like, oh, the shit's about to hit the fan, and like everything's moving faster. That a lot of people I saw complaining about this episode, I'm like, do you remember the first couple seasons? It was just a lot of characters talking and stuff. Like, it wasn't a very fast moving show, really.
Yeah, it is pretty crazy that in a six episode season, last final season where you've got all these things you need to do, they used a whole episode to do this, just to have characters talk about.
But it does feel necessary, though.
It feels necessary, yeah.
It does.
And in hindsight, we're going to think this is one of the most important episodes of the show, arguably.
Especially when insert X amount or whoever characters die, presumably next week. You're going to look back and be able to remember some of their moments from this episode, I feel, like as their final ones. And basically every character gets a cool moment or a cool little interaction, a fun interaction for not only their character, but for the audience. Because I think that's the difference between this episode feeling fan service-y and earned and needed and actually just making sense story-wise and for these characters just interacting with one another, compared to if it was fan service-y. I just feel like they were like all the conversations they're having feel real for those characters, I guess. It doesn't feel like, imagine if they said this or they said this thing, like, you know, like it just feels like real conversations the characters would have. Several times I laughed out loud, several times I just smiled because, you know, like someone would say something about, or like, oh, you know, that gave me the smile. That was a happy moment. And, you know, emotional with the Brienne thing, which we'll get to, obviously. That was nearly brought a tear to my eye. It's like this episode is just full of so many moments like this that it is just, they're just giving you this last final, oh, that's happy, oh, that's nice. And then from every episode after this through to the finale, I presume it's just going to be like, oh, like, everyone I love's dying around me. Help me. Like, what do we do? So,
yep.
Yeah, it definitely feels like this was necessary. But then it's not to shit on the first episode, because I thought the first episode was fine. You know, we talked about it last week. It was okay. Yep, it was a good episode. It was a good episode. It wasn't fucking fantastic. It was good. It was fine. But it's like you can't get to this episode without last week's episode either. So they kind of go hand in hand, I guess. Can't have one without the other. All right, let's dive into the episode and kind of get into what happens. And by happens, I mean not happens. And by not happens, I mean stuff happens. But so the first thing we get dealt with is Jamie is dealt with rather fast after the whole cliffhanger of him and Bran just staring at one another and being like, oh, hey, friend, I remember you. Remember when I pushed you? You pushed you out of the fucking tower? Do you remember that thing that happened between the two of us?
Yeah.
So the episode opens with Jamie being brought in front of the council. He's brought in front of everyone, let's say. And at first, everyone's, as we saw in the trailer for this episode, it's like Danny's saying, you know, me and my brother talked about what we'll do to you all the time. You know, Santa saying all this stuff, blah, 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 blah. But then Brienne comes in and sticks up for him, says, hey, I would be dead without you. The reason you're leaving Santa is technically because he helped me and then I helped you, so on, so forth. And then Santa says, well, I trust you with my life. So if you trust him, then I'm choosing to trust Jaime as well. Then in amongst all of this, Jaime says that he's there because it's where the fight is and he knows where it's, he should be. So everything he said in that final episode last season was true, even if his sister is a lying fuck. And he says he doesn't feel sorry for anything that he did to all these people's families because he did it for his house and for love. And then when he says for love, everyone kind of looks at him like, oh, yeah, we know what you mean there. We know what you do. Did you feel about, did you feel it was weird they just kind of forgave him so quickly, or like that was such a
small? No, I don't think they forgave him so much as they just
got over it.
They're practical.
Yeah. Somewhat practical.
There's bigger concerns. I did love Bran dropping that, the line from the first episode, the things we do for love.
Yeah.
The thing that he said right before pushing him out the window. I just like creepy Bran dropping things from the past on people.
Yeah. Well, Bran's always creepy. Bran gets to be more creepy when Jaime, with his newfound freedom, goes and finds Bran, who's at the Weirwood tree. Is it Weirwood or Weirwood? I don't know. Sorry. He goes and he apologizes to Bran. And then Bran comes back with another zinger of saying, you weren't sorry then. It's like, yes, it is very, very true. But then Jaime asks why, Bran didn't dob him in about pushing him out the tower, and Bran says it's because they would have probably just torn him apart and killed him right there and then, and that they are all going to need him for the upcoming fight, or just need general people for the upcoming fight. I felt like it was more of a general thing and less, more so than you particular. Like, we just need people, I guess. I don't know. That was that's their little interaction. Jaime then he then continues going on a bit of a tour of the force of people, bumps into Tyrion.
I've seen
someone, bumps into Tyrion on his way back into town. They have a few couple funny lines together. Tyrion saying, so we're gonna die at Winterfell. Like, who'd have thought this is where it all, and then they reminisce about their original journey to here back in episode one of season one, of course.
Yeah,
lots more reminiscing. And then Jaime's is then mid talk with Tyrion, he's like, oh, Brienne's over here, let's
sorry Tyrion, I'm not paying attention to anything.
I'm no longer paying any attention to you at all, and I'm just going to go talk to someone else right now if you don't mind. So then he heads on over to her, and she's down there training Pod and a whole heap of other people in stuff.
Train doesn't look like he needs any pod doesn't look like he needs any more training.
No, he did look, he's like he was doing down pretty well, to be fair. Yeah, you're right, he did look like he was kicking ass. And then he starts having a conversation with her, a little bit of a, you know, how's the weather? How are you? How's the sword? and she then has a funny line where she says, we've never once had a conversation for this long without you insulting me. So why are you talking to me?
I don't know if that, is that true? I feel like the last time they interacted, there wasn't too much insulting when they were at the
battle place, or whatever it was. Yeah. The outside the front gates there. I don't remember, to be honest, but I do know when they were like in each other's captivity and stuff, they were, it was very much back and forth. Like,
they were banter.
Banter, if that's one way to put it. So I don't know. I can't really remember the last line that he said to her the last time they saw one another.
Mm.
But
I'll take your word for it, Brian.
Yeah, sure. We'll trust you. He then asks her, though, to lead him into battle because she says that she's going to be leading the right flank or whatever it is in the battle. That's
one of
upcoming.
The flanks.
One of the flanks. And she's like, oh, we've got this hill up here. I reckon we can do this. And he's like, yeah, sounds good. Can you lead me into battle? Like, I might not be much use to anyone these days, but I would be honored if you could lead me into battle. So that was a nice, the first of a couple nice moments that he actually has with her throughout this entire episode, I guess. Like, this is the start of it. Then we cut to Dany, who's upset that Tyrion failed her in believing his sister, and she's thinking he's a bit of a idiot. And Tyrion, even with the conversation he was having with his brother just before, was saying that he reckons he's going to get fired and, you know, all these sorts of things because he's an idiot. But then Jorah comes through, talks to Dany, explains that you should forgive him. I didn't like him. I hated the time I spent on that boat with him. Wouldn't shut the fuck up. Blah, 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 blah. I wanted to throw him off the edge. All these sorts of things. I was so pissy when I found out you made him your hand. And she's like, well, you weren't around at the time, to be fair. And he's like, yeah, whatever. And he's like, with all that said, you should still keep around as a hand. And then she's like, but why? And he says it's because he's smart, but he's also smart enough to actually learn from his mistakes. So that was nice, Jorah, to stick up for Tyrion a bit here instead of just throwing to the wolves, even though pretty much we've always seen those characters butthead quite a bit, I'd say. Yeah. Then Dany goes and she finds Sansa to talk to, and she originally goes in to ask about Tyrion a bit, and she asks if he's a good person or whatever, and Sansa sticks up for Tyrion as well, saying that he was nothing but, you know, kind to me and good to me in the time we spent together, and he's smart and all these sorts of things. So again, another tick for Tyrion over here. And then Dany ends up asking why Sansa isn't a big fan of her, and Sansa says it's because men do stupid things when they're in love, of course hinting at Jon, her brother, and Dany's relationship. And Dany then points out that she's here fighting Jon's war, not vice versa, basically saying, you know, I love him too, and I'm here for him, and I'm not using him. If anything, he's using me. Da, da, da.
But I'm pretty sure you're using him.
Well,
because you weren't going to come along unless he bent the knee.
Unless he did the, unless he bent the knee. Yeah, yeah.
So,
exactly. And for a second there, they're like touching hands and they're like, oh.
Yeah, it looks like they're going to be best buds again.
Looks like they're going to be best buds, but then Santa's like, what happens? What happens after? It's like, after what? After we, this is all over. She's like, what do you mean? It's like, well, we said that the North would never bend to the power of a king, a queen, whatever, once again. And then, of course, the hand kind of retracts a little bit. And Danny's face is kind of telling a story here, which is, I'll fucking burn you, bitch. I will fucking burn you.
I got dragons. They'll eat whatever they want.
Yeah, I got dragons. You see what happened? You will either bend the knee to me or
buddy Sam.
Yeah, you will be up shit creek. I guess this is one thing, like you can kind of tie in this here or later when after her and John talk about this stuff later in the episode, but it's like signs like this just makes me think that Dany has that evil side to her. Like, I keep seeing this evil.
Yeah.
And we've seen it before, of course, with the burning of Sam's family and, you know, all these other things. We've seen her do nasty things before. But the closer we get to the final episode, and, of course, we're in the final season, every time I see her do something like this where I'm just like, oh, that's the evil side of Dany. It really makes me go, she's not going
to
win this.
Do you have to rule everything?
Like, you're not going to win this. Like, they're going to make her go bad or something. Like, they're just going to make her turn on them or something along those lines. Yeah. Do you get similar feelings, or are you just like, oh, no, it's fine?
Yeah, there's just moments, you know, where you're like, oh.
Yeah.
They're looking a bit power hungry.
Yeah, they're definitely hinting at it, especially like, and we'll get to her and John later, but it's like that conversation was not going well at all either. Not a good episode for Danny talking to Starks at all, really. Luckily, as things are about to get really awkward between Sansa and Danny, though, they get interrupted with news, and the news is that Theon has just come home, and Sansa runs out, and they stare at each other for a hot second, and then Theon is like, I've come home, I'd like to fight for you, and then they run and they brace each other, and it's a sweet moment, because I think the one thing a lot of people kind of forget for those characters is they had a very shared experience, I guess, for a long period of time.
Shared there. Trauma.
Shared, they're shared trauma, exactly. And it's like, they've got shared trauma, plus they're like, they sort of, like they grew up together, you know, like there's a lot.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on there. There's a connection there for sure. That I feel like that hug and everything was a good moment.
Yeah.
Arya is down... wherever Gendry's making stuff, and he goes down
smithing away.
Yeah, he's doing all the blacksmithery stuff. She goes down.
Where's my weapon?
Yeah, she goes down. She's like, where's my weapon, motherfucker? You're slow as shit. And B, tell me about these White Walkers and how do I kill them? And he's kind of like rubbing off the questions a bit. Like, why would I tell you? It seems like he's doing it very much like you're a child. Your girl, like, why do you need to know this information about White Walkers type of thing? Like, that's kind of what I got. Like, he was just like,
I didn't get the impression. I thought he just didn't want to talk about it. He'd like, it's like one of those things.
You reckon? I took it at him. I took it as him treating her as a royalty. Like, why do you need to know? You're not going to be fighting them type thing. Like, I suppose it could go either way though, but that's how I took it. Him just being like,
I didn't take it that way because I'm pretty sure he's seen her do stuff. So
has he? I don't think he's seen her do anything. Which is why, you know,
she's carrying around a friggin' sword. I mean,
it's a small fucking sword needle, to be fair. But I mean, whichever way, the reason I went is because then he, when he's refusing to give information, she's like, I'll fucking show you. She's like, starts frying the,
daggers.
They were daggers, like, I guess, that weren't dragons, like fully dragon, carved scale, out or whatever.
Dragon
like,
glass.
Pieces,
yeah,
something, yeah, but she begins throwing them at the wall,
spearheads, I think,
and yeah, perfectly like getting him into the wall across there. And he seems
poor dude next to it,
yeah, he gets scared off, he runs away. That was quite funny. And she's like, I
couldn't aim at somebody where nobody was,
yeah, jeez. No, she's like, I know death, he's many faces, I look forward to the face he takes tomorrow, or so, you know, something along those lines,
yeah, something says, along those lines.
And he's like,
Damn.
I took it as Game of Thrones flirting, and especially looking back on the full episode, I definitely think it's Game of Thrones flirting. Because I wrote down in my notes.
You read into this one.
Yeah, I was like, I wrote down in my notes Game of Thrones flirting, and then we get to the end of the episode, and I'm like, it definitely was Game of Thrones flirting. So he's like, yeah, okay, I'll get right onto your weapon then. And he's like, seems a bit more pushed at that point to actually get to work. Meanwhile, Davos. This is the only scene that I felt was a little bit weird amongst everything else. These two scenes here. So you got Davos down in the courtyard, and he's feeding the people on the streets and stuff. And like the first interaction we see of him is he's talking to a bunch of like random male people or whatever, but like younger. And he's like, you know, go suit up armor, blah, 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 fight. Do what you need to. Look,
like, oh, we don't want to fight.
Yeah, whatever. They're like, I don't want to fight. And he's like, I've survived the Battle of the Bastards, et cetera, et cetera. Like you can do it too. He's like talking him into it. And then we see that Gilly is helping point people into the right direction as well. It seems like she's been like, oh, you know, you should go to the catacombs. I presume that she's also been like, you should go get armor. Like she's just like, seems to be directing people somewhat, helping out, doing what's necessary. And then we see Davros interact with this little girl who's like burnt on the side of her face. And it's very easy to tell what's happening in the scene, even though they don't straight up tell you. But just like the girls obviously make Davos... reminding Davos of Stannis's child, which Shireen. Was Shireen, who was obviously
sure that's her name.
Yeah, I think that was her name, Shireen. Who was burnt on the thing, of course. But
freaking Red Witch.
Yeah, I was like, was this moment meant to mean anything in particular, or was it just supposed to be like him remembering? I don't like.
I guess I don't know if there's any deeper meaning, but
I don't know. Yeah, I was like
him reminiscing. I guess, or
I guess so.
Talk. Yeah, he's just really good with children.
So. Yeah. What? I know, here's
well, I guess not. Gilly was the one who did all the talking, so.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
And then we get to, but she's talking about how she wants to fight and all these sorts of things. And
yeah.
I guess he's like.
Cute, smug, good kid.
Yeah, good kid. And he's like, and then Gelly comes along and is like, well, you can protect me and everyone else down there in the catacombs. That's where you can do your fighting. And
the crypt.
Yeah, you go down to the crypt and...
Might need him.
Might need him down there when... Well, we'll get to that. But greater... Then we cut to... We get this other scene as well that was kind of the only other real throwaway one I felt this episode, which was Grey Worm and Miss Andy talking and just being like, hey, it's basically like them being like, these northerners hate us. Where do you want to go after we win the war? And they're like, we should go back to my home place. And she's like, you know, people won't like you there. And, you know, it just seemed like a bit of a whatever scene. Like,
I suppose if there was a more heavy-handed foreshadowing scene in this than this in the show, I don't think there was.
Yeah, it's like, we all know that Grey Worm's going to die next episode. Let's be real.
Yeah.
If any character can...
You're talking about retirement. You're talking about things you're going to do after the war. You're going to be dead before you know it.
Mm.
I'm surprised a friggin' spear didn't drop out of the sky and kill him right then.
Yeah, you're right. But it's like such a heavy foreshadowing scene, but I just feel like the only purpose of showing these two characters in this scene is for, I suppose, I presume there must be people out there who are somewhat attached to these characters. I'm personally not, so I suppose it's just a scene for
those people.
Like closure. Yeah.
They didn't get anything in the first episode, really.
They didn't, so here's your Grey Worm and Sandy scene. Fair enough. And then we get Tormund and crew arriving. They have managed to sneak around the army of the dead and make their way to Winterfell in time ahead of the Night King and co. And they give the news. They're like, hey, well, actually, firstly, there's a funny scene where Jon runs in and he's trying to give a big old hug to Ed.
Yeah.
Tried to give him a hug and then out of fucking nowhere, Tormund just like jumps in front of him.
Tackles him pretty much.
I mean, yeah. Tormund gets a lot of funny scenes this episode. From the moment he's on screen, he's doing quite well. But once again, talking about like the humor level, like from episode one with the dragon thing that seemed out of tone of Game of Thrones humor, this seemed like normal Game of Thrones, like Tormund humor, you know, that we've sort of seen before. So that was fine. But he says, you know, Night King will be here by the time sun's up tomorrow. So we're all pretty much fucked. What do you want to do? What do you want to do? So they all get together for this battle meeting. And John starts explaining. Cool. It's kind of funny, this the battle meeting scene. Yeah, I liked it, the way it was shot and like they had all the figures on the table and stuff. If any, it reminded me of Dragon Age Inquisition, because when it between missions, you'd go to a table in a room exactly like this and like plan out what he was going to do. A lot of people might not get that reference, but either way, for those that do.
It's a video game,
yeah. They're talking around this table. You got all the leaders of the each separate houses and sorts of things that are around here, of course. And John
all
starts,
the important characters.
All the important characters, yeah. All the ones that are going to die next episode. John says that, explains that there's way too many of the Army of the Dead. There's a fair amount of us, but there's no way we can take them on. Plus, they've probably picked up more people on the way from the wall, from all the other... places that they've gone through, like the place that they went through in the first episode, Tormund and crew went through. So the army's going to be a lot bigger. So of course he's right. The army is going to be ridiculous. There's no way they can win. But he says what they should try and do is kill the Night King, because he's presuming the fan theory. I mean, it's the same theory that fans abide to, which is that if the Night King is killed, then the rest will presumably drop dead.
Die. Like
he's the...
Re-die.
Yeah, re-die, I guess. That's the theory they're going through. So then Bran, this is not the funny. I don't know how more people aren't memeing this scene, I suppose, online, but maybe it's for spoilers. I don't know. But this is the weirdest Bran scene I've seen thus far, I reckon, out of all of them. It's simply because everyone in the room, he's just like, you know, the Night King will come to me because I'm the three-eyed raven, and he'll come for me like many three-eyed ravens have before me. So you should do all this stuff. And everyone just kind of looks at him like,
okay,
the fuck did you just say? And then eventually I think Tyrion's like, why? What? Why? But everyone's just kind of looking at him saying this. I'm just like, it's the most like brand sentence of gobbledygook words that no one's ever like,
yeah,
what are you again? Like, what, free-eyed, what, mate? Like, what is your deal? I think at this stage, because it's the last season, they have no time to like build up characters understanding what exactly Bran is. So now it's just like Bran's in this weird position where a lot of characters interact with him and go, I do not understand if characters actually believe Bran, or they're just like, yes, crazy child. Or other characters like, yes, Bran has mystical powers. Like, I don't know where the line is between a lot of characters of people just being like,
yeah,
weirdo child. What a weirdo wheelchair child. So that's his plan. And then Bran's like, well, if that's your plan, what we should do is park me over at the Weirdwood Tree, whatever it's called, and use me as bait. And at first everyone's like, that's a bad idea. But then everyone comes around and is like, no, it's not right, because we'll try and have people close. So then when the Night King comes close,
Theon's like, I'll be near him. I'll protect him.
Yeah.
That's a guaranteed. Yeah. I'll win everything.
Yeah. Theon's like, I took this place from you the first time. Least I can do is stand by your side this time or something.
Yep. Theon's dead.
Theon's fucking dying, yeah.
Yep.
Now, everyone's dying, let's be honest.
Everyone's going to die.
Well, I mean, if you take Tormund does say in this scene.
You know, everyone who's I said was going to be alive is going to live, so.
Yeah, okay. Tormund does note in this room, though, quote, we're all going to die, but at least we'll die together. And then he looks over his shoulder, all creepy like at Brienne. Everything with him in this episode is pure gold, I think.
Can't fault his focus.
He can't. And he's so, it's so.
It's single-minded.
It's great. It's quite funny. I gotta say, for this last episode, before shit hits the fan, I was enjoying every single joke that he kind of threw out. So with that line thrown out by Tormund, everyone's like, yeah, right, fuck it. Let's go enjoy what's left of our final night left alive, I guess. Sam and John head up to the top of the castle wall, I guess, and they're discussing how John hasn't spread the family news just yet. And then you have a ghost is in the background because,
whoop!
In case you forgot that Ghost hasn't been around for like clearly, 2 seasons or something, but
clearly Ghost is going to do something next episode.
I remember there was an interview before the season started with the special effects person and I think it was an online interview. And it was like, is Ghost going to be in this season? And it's like, yeah, Ghost shows up for a couple episodes or something. But like the reason we don't use them so much is because special effects and, you know, we use real dogs as stand-ins. So that's like practical thing and that's annoying and blah, 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 blah. And apparently they was originally going to use Ghost in the Battle of the Bastards, but then it became too hard for them even to have him there. And that really annoyed me because then I kept thinking about the Battle of the Bastards and having Ghost like charge in at people. I'm like, fuck, that would have been cool. That would have been cool. But it's kind of just...
You've had 2 years. Give us Ghost battles.
Mm-hmm.
Like Ghost in battle, please.
It's kind of annoying.
But don't kill Ghost.
No, don't kill Ghost. Please don't kill Ghost. It's kind of jarring, though, how weird it is just to see him there. Because it's like been so many seasons without seeing him. I
think people have said that he looks smaller.
Special effects.
Maybe they just couldn't. Yeah, the dog was too small.
Between the elephants and the dog and stuff like the CGI budget for this season.
Yeah, animals, man.
Animals. They put no animal budget in the CGI. So they're discussing all this sort of stuff. And then Ed joins them and they discuss being the last members of the watch left alive from their OG crew and have a few jokes.
Are they? Oh, their crew, yeah.
Their crew from the, you know, episode two, I guess, season one days, the original sort of, you know, Sam, him, John, blah, 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 blah. The rest of them are all dead.
The other peoples.
Other peoples, yeah. They have a few jokes about how Sam's the... You know,
lady killer.
He's lady killer. He's killed White Walkers. He's, you know, he's got this. He's a badass. And then, Ed make these jokes about the world really is fucking ending. If this is Samuel Tarly's over here doing all this, so that was quite funny to see. That's what I'm saying. The episode is just a whole heap of character interactions and stuff, and it's really like, yeah, it's fun. So then we go to Tyrion and Jaime, who are in front of
You missed something which I think might be important later on.
Which is?
That Tyrion sat down with Bran. He's like, tell me your story.
Oh, yes, that's right. Yeah, he did right after the thing, yeah.
He's like, I've got a knight. Tell me your story. And clearly the story... He's like, it's really long. It's a really long story. It's like, Tyrion looks like he's settling in. And then like 20 minutes later, he's off drinking with Jaime, so... It was really boring.
Yeah.
It was actually very short.
It was very short. Bran's like, I can't tell you the whole story. I've got all night. Next second, Tyrion's over drinking with Jaime at the fireplace for the rest of it. Yeah, it's like, okay. Yeah, makes sense. But yeah, so Tyrion and Jaime are drinking in front of this fire. and talking about how funny it would be if their father was still alive and seeing them here about to die protecting Winterfell of all places. I'm sure their father would have loved that. And even Jamie's like at first, like, don't talk shit about my father. But then he's like, yeah, it's pretty funny actually. So they're all having a chat. And I saw the best description I've seen of this scene is I saw someone online make a joke about it basically being the last scene in Mass Effect before you go on the final mission in Mass Effect 2. Because it's like all these characters just slowly come into this room and begin interacting with one another. And it's like, this is the proper like Last Supper room or something along those lines. And it's like, yeah, pretty much is. So then Brienne and Pod enter. And this is the thing that made me like chuckle the most and like just filled me with a little bit of like, oh, that's little happy beans from these characters interacting in this whole scene. I think everyone interacting in this room, yep. I think was probably my favorite stuff. Cause straight away you have like Pod coming in, Tyrion being like, do you want to drink? And Brienne's like, no, you can't drink. We've got a battle tomorrow. And then like, she stares a bit and he's like, okay, she's like, okay, you can have a half cup. And then it cuts to a shot of Tyrion pouring the wine glass and he's pouring it to the brim where it's over fucking flowing. I think it's just like small moments like that where when you're so invested in the characters and stuff that it just makes you go like smile a little bit, just seeing such simple interactions. And that's, and the show's kind of earned its moments like this where you're just like, oh, that's funny. That's look at Paul and Tyrion. They've had moments together and all these other characters. Yeah. So, and then, Davos comes in and he's mulked in. He's like, I'm not here to drink. I'm just here to use the fire and do what needs to be done. And then Tormund comes in and tries to pick up Rianza more as soon as he enters. He's like, what's going on? How's it going? What are you doing? And then, of course, of all things, he's like, do you want to know the story of why? Ash is already shaking. He said, do you want to know the story of why they call me Giantsbane? And he tells it and he explains it. It's because I killed a giant at the age of 10 years old. And then I crawled into bed with its mum and
with his wife.
And then the giant fed me giant's milk for 3 months from its tit. That's why I'm called Giant's Bane. Then everyone in the room.
It's like, what the
fuck? Why?
That story drove Davos to drink.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
Literally.
He's literally like, I came here for the fire, but now I need the drink. It's like, the only time I've seen all those Twitter things where people put like, no one, literally no one. And there's like Tormund. And it's like, it's the fucking milk gif and stuff like that from Star Wars.
Yeah. The Luke.
Yeah. Luke Last Jedi one. Yeah. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, it's great. Do you reckon he's telling the truth?
Yes. that's
do you think part. No. Do you think he actually killed a giant?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I don't believe it. I mean, what? It's sleeping. He goes up, he stabs it. Tolman's a crazy motherfucker.
Why would a little 10-year-old boy do that, though?
He's a crazy wildling, Sean. The thing with Tormund is we're so used to him from the last couple of seasons of being with the good guys that I think people forget that he was, like, part of the wildlings. And when the wildlings were, like, this, like, crazy fucking bad guy group, but you know, and of course we've kind of forgot that at the point, but it's like Tommen's badass. He's a wildling, grew up in the, you know, I believe that he could dare kill a giant while sleeping or something along those lines. I'll believe it. And even if he's not telling the truth, I would believe that he sucked on a giant's tit. I guess that's the most.
You don't just come up with those things.
No, you can't come up with that part.
It's too specific.
It's way too specific. Not something you'd really gloat about. That's why I got the name Giantsbane. Fucking giant's milk. And that's why he's so big and tall these days, though. So, kids, don't forget, drink your giant's milk.
But I think I saw somebody tweet that it explains why he's into Brienne because, you know, he likes big women.
Maybe. I guess. So then Tyrion begins pointing out how funny it is that pretty much all of them have fought against the Starks at one point or another in the room. Which is true. They all kind of have at one point or another. So that's pretty funny. And then starts riling off everyone's battles. It's like, Sir blah, 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 the Battle of whatever. Sir blah, 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 the Battle of whatever. And then he actually accidentally says, Sir Brienne. It's like, oh, sorry, you're not a knight. Awkward. Sorry. Hashtag Orkies. And then Jamie's over pouring a drink and he's like, yeah, but. Tormund asks, like, king, why the fuck can't you be a. Knight, and she says women are allowed to be knights, and he's like, if I was king, I would knight you.
I'd knight you 10 times over.
Yeah, I was like, oh, sexual god,
innuendo.
Yeah, it's like
the subtlety zero.
Yeah, the subtlety on that one, Tormund. Come on, step it down. Like you went all the way up here with the giant's tit drinking stuff, and just you got to take the subtlety down from that. You got to just bring it back down. Bring it down a little bit. But yeah, then Jamie's like, well, anyone, like a knight can make a knight. There's no, that's the, how the rules work, apparently. And as soon as he said that, I was like, oh. Because it's like such a character. This is the biggest like character thing of the whole episode, of course, I feel. And overall, the thing is, and I'll bring it up at the end if I remember, but I'll put it in there in case I forget. This episode is very heavy on female empowerment. Very heavy on female empowerment for a show that has often treated its female characters like dog shit. And like that's part of the story to a point, I guess, but it can't be helped somewhat. But it's like most of the female characters in the show, of course, like even Sansa, just, you know, like what she went through and all these sorts of stuff. It's like it's good to see some of them get wins finally, I guess. But Jaime walks over to the side, pulls out his sword, and says, "Kneel, Brienne Tarth." And she kind of thinks about it for a second. At first, I thought she was going to be like start arguing against it and be like, no. But I'm glad she didn't. She just gets over.
Accepted it.
Yeah, accepts it. Walks over, kneels. Jaime does the in the kingdoms, blah, 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 you know, like the spiel or whatever it
nice
is.
Nice speech.
Nice speech. Side by side. And then says, "Rise, Ser Brienne of Tarth, Knight of the Seven Kingdoms." And it's like, Brown's going to die next episode, but come on.
But in that moment, she was,
I'd say also like it's the strongest character piece in the entire episode. And it's like after everything she's been through and like how much, you know, she would want to be that. And like for her to finally get it, it's just such a huge emotional thing. But then I'd also say just on an actor thing, like how well Gwendolyn Christie plays the whole scene, I thought was also quite fantastic, because you can tell how emotional she is.
Yeah,
but she's also, you can tell that
smile
like,
at the end.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like you just like to see that tearing character. Up.
It's great.
Yeah, to see that character that happy, it's like, oh, you've earned that too. Like,
yeah,
like 100% earned that. So yeah, that was the one scene where I was like, Serbian, oh God, help us, please. Yeah, it was great. Absolutely fucking fantastic scene. Outside, Lyanna Mormont is arguing with Jorah about going into battle. And she's like, Jorah's like, no, you can't go into battle. You gotta like, you know, you're the leader of the house, blah, 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 type of thing. And then she's like, fuck off, cousin, I'm doing it. And he's like, okay, I guess like you're your own 8-year-old woman, but do what you need to do what you need to do. I mean,
you think she's not gonna take down a bunch of White Walkers?
She's going to fucking take out a bunch of White Walkers and she's going to live.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
She ain't dying.
Arya's going to be impressed.
Arya's going to be very impressed.
Damn, I wish I was Lyanna Mormont.
Yeah. It's just Lyanna Mormont being fucking badass again, continues to. Ever since I introduced her in the show.
What do you think? I think she's going to have like a massive axe. That'd be cool. Like oversized Final Fantasy-like axe. She just swings around.
I know, I hadn't really thought about it, to be honest, but that'd be cool. Yeah, I'd be down for it.
Yeah.
I really hadn't thought about it, but yeah, no, that'd be cool. But this is what I mean. This is another like scene of her. She's just like, now fuck you, I'm going to the battle. There's like another moment for the females of the Game of Thrones universe on top of another one. There's another one, which we'll get to in a second. But then Sam comes out as Lyanna's leaving and gives Jorah his Valyrian steel sword that he's like, here. Use this. Good on you, bro. Use it. And Jorah says he'll swing it proudly in battle. I was like, cool. Good on you, Sam. Good on you, Sam.
Yeah.
Good on you.
Smart. Smart. Not using that sword if you can't use it.
No, exactly. Give it to someone who can use it better. Good on you, Sam.
Yeah.
Smart kid.
Good inventory management.
Yes. Which is what his job was. So, yeah, that makes sense. So then Arya finds the Hound up on the wall there somewhat. The Hound's just sitting there drinking his life away. And Arya sits down and he hands her a drink and she begins drinking, and then they just kind of sit there for a couple of seconds, and then the Hound says, he never used to shut the fuck up, now he's just sitting here like a mute, which was quite funny, I thought.
Yeah, it was.
It was. Then they have a little bit of back and forth about, she's like, why are you even here? Like, you've never fought for anyone but yourself. And he's like, yeah, but, you know, we're all fucked.
I fought for you.
Yeah, I fought for you and that. I fought for you, didn't I? She's like, yeah, I guess you did. That's true. And then Beric turns up and Arya kind of looks at him and is like, yeah, you was on my list. So you two have fun and I'm just going to leave. And then Beric stays with the Hound. Oh, that's kind of old. Yeah. that's what I took to see.
Yeah, they have a bit of banter about, yeah, you know.
Because the Hound's like, wasn't he on your list?
Him dying 19 times, but
yeah,
only to be thrown off the wall by the Hound.
Yeah, he's like, I'll fucking throw you off this fucking wall.
See how the Lord of Light likes that, bitch.
Yeah, that's pretty funny, actually. So then she heads off and she goes to do a whole bunch of arrow practicing, shooting, and then is found by Gendry, who gives her her weapon. Now...
Is that, that's sort of a callback to the first episode, because she was practicing.
She was practicing her stuff when he shows up, doesn't he? Well, no, he shows up?
Whole Baratheon,
I guess,
party shows up.
Yeah, yeah. Now her weapon, what do you think of her weapon?
It's a callback to her time with the, whatever they're called, I guess, with the sticks. Except they're blades instead of ends, so. Yeah.
It looks cool. I feel like we haven't seen exactly how it fully uses, because remember, like, I don't know if that the internet's diving into, as I said in episode one, where people thought it was going to pull apart to two parts. That could still come true, but I just feel like there's going to be a little bit something more to it. Like,
clearly, the illustration of what she wanted was clearly two bits. So.
Yeah, but I was like, is it meant to be two bits formed into one, or is it actually, like, people were saying, like, two parts that can pull apart? We'll see next week is the thing, I guess. Yeah,
next week.
We'll find out very soon. But I'm glad to see that she's going to be using some sort of cooler weapon than just needle, which, you know, isn't needle wasn't going to go very well against the army of the dead. I feel it can only go so far. One-on-one battle, maybe,
yeah,
but we're gonna take out so many people, probably not gonna go the full thing. And then she asks, she begins asking Gendry about the Red Woman, because that was the last time they saw each other, obviously. And then he explains that he's actually Robert Baratheon's bastard, and that's why she wanted him and took him. And then Arya's like,
put a bunch of leeches on him.
Yeah, she's like, he's like, I put a bunch of leeches on me, did a whole heap of weird shit. It was pretty fucked up. And then she's like, well, did you fuck him? Did you fuck her? And he's like, what? And then she's like, well, how many before all that back in King's Landing, how many women did you sleep with? And he's like, I didn't count. And she's like, you did count. He's like, all right, I did count. It was three. And it was three, yeah. Then she's like, okay, well, I want to do the sexy times before I die. And then they proceed to.
the sexy times.
Then they, they proceed to get it on. So I thought this was a great scene. The internet's having,
it was cool.
The internet's having problems with it. Lots of problems with it. I feel like it's the most talked about scene, which is really like, I somewhat understand kind of where people are coming from, but at the same time, I'm just like, why is this like, I don't know. People's problem with it.
I can understand where people are coming from. I mean, you've seen this little girl grow up from being a tiny little girl to being banging Gendry.
My argument would be, why is that any different than
it's kind of awkward, like watching your little sister as well.
Yeah, but why is that no different than people who are okay with fucking Hermione Granger or any other person? You know what I mean? Christian Stewart.
Yeah, but
they were all young actresses who people are now okay with, like.
But they weren't playing that same role the whole time.
I'm pretty sure that when I'm fucking mental blank here on the name. What the fuck's Hermione's name?
Emma Watson.
Emma Watson, thank you. Holy shit. I'm pretty sure Emma Watson, when she turned 18, people would have been like, if she did a fucking nude scene all of a sudden in one of the Harry Potter movies, people would have been like, oh, that's fine. That's okay.
It's different because the fan base was the same age as her, whereas the fan base for Game of Thrones was all older than Macy Williams.
I guess, but it's like, it's still, I just feel like it's such a weird thing to get hung up on, because like, to me, I feel like this is one of like two, potentially three, like such a small amount of actual sex scenes in the Game of Thrones that's actually
consensual,
good, like two characters actually like it. Like most of Game of Thrones sex is just like hookers and what, you know what I mean? Like it's just brothel girls and these sorts of things. The only other like main sex scene that I could think of where it's like two people actually consensually getting down is John and what's her face? You know nothing.
Danny?
No, not Danny.
Of Rose Leslie.
Rose Leslie. Because the thing with Danny...
Ygritte. That's her character name.
Yeah, Ygritte. The thing with John and Danny scene is it doesn't even count because it's weird because we as the audience know that they're related.
Okay, then Danny and Dario. Back in Marine. The guy who was Ed Skrein, but then was replaced.
Yeah. I guess that could be one as well. But you know what I mean? Like, there's so many
It's a rare occurrence as opposed to the constant other end of the spectrum.
Yeah. And here's this, like, in the show, she's 18. Her character, as an actress, she's 22. Right?
Although they apparently HBO was, like, foreshadowing that with the tweet.
Did they? What'd they tweet out?
Yeah. I think I think the one they said, by the time you turn 18 in Westeros, you need to have a list or whatever. Okay. Yeah.
So I'll cover them bases. So, but it's like, either way, it's like character and actress are like within legal age, right? And then you've got this grown adult character and actress who's on screen, who's like, hey, what up? How many fucking people you slept with? You're right. I can do that. And there's like
you don't have STDs. Yeah,
that's why you don't have STDs. I guess it's okay. And then even the fact where she's like, take your own fucking pants off. Like, I honestly felt like it was a pretty badass, empowering scene for.
She wanted some. She got some.
Yeah. Like I feel like considering how this show usually treats its sex scenes, especially with women, it's like I thought this was a.
Yeah.
I thought this was a win personally, and I'm like. No one's asking you to jerk off to her is the thing that like, I hate to be blunt about it, but all these people are like, oh, but she's like, grew up, she's like a sister. I'm like, no one's asking you to be turned on by it. You know what I mean? Like, I hate to boil it down to that, but literally like just because she's fucking doing it on screen doesn't mean you have to.
Although if you felt uncomfortable, that's on you. That's cool. You can feel that.
You can do what you want. But for people who are like, oh, I don't know, like, isn't this weird that like they let her do this and all this sort of stuff? I'm like, no. Like, what, how is she supposed, like, she's a fucking adult. Like, what do you want? I don't understand. But, I thought it was a good scene for a character and everything. It also, as a character moment for Arya, is like, she's such a badass and like a grilled, silent, often brooding character the last couple of seasons after, like, how she is. For her to actually have a moment where she's just like, I want this because I want, like, human interaction and, like, I've liked Gendry from the moment I saw it. Like the first time she ever saw him, she was like perving on him because he was topless.
Yep.
So it's like, it's the line.
She was literally eating a snack.
Yeah.
At the time.
The line for this.
You've seen the gif.
Yeah. The line for this has been sunk quite some time ago. So for her to be like, you know, I had the hots for this guy back when, and I've got the hots for him now and probably may die tomorrow. No. Get my socks off.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. So
let's give this a go.
I don't know.
Sounds like a time for trying new things.
Yeah. If ever there was a time, it seems like a good
one. Before you die is the time to try new things.
Yeah. Seems like a good one now. So yeah, because I saw people being like, oh, they didn't even build their relationship. I'm like,
I saw people type saying that's the most disgusting thing they've done on the show so far.
But they're fucking they're okay with her like chopping people's heads off and all these sorts of things. They're like,
yeah,
it's okay for this little girl, she's like my sister. I grew up, she's like my sister. I'm like, so it's like, you're okay for this girl who you consider to be your little sister to be like.
Although, to be fair, time is weird. We don't know how long time's gone on.
Either way, I'm just like.
Gilly's baby's still the baby.
It's one of those things. Like, if you're weirded out by it, okay. But as I just said, no one's asking you to fucking jerk off to it. And I thought it was a. Powerful scene for the character, so that's where I fall on.
Please
that.
Let that be the bit that you cut out to use first.
No one said you had to jerk off. Well, it's true. You know what I'm saying? Like these people are acting like it's fucking. You're putting it on yourself. Anyway, so we go back to Tyrion. He's asking around for a song. He's like, hey, anyone goes, I'm fucking pissed as, bro. Does anyone have a song that they can sing a song? And everyone's like, nah, nah, nah. And then eventually we get around the pod and he starts singing this song and we get a sad montage. And this is the moment in the episode where it really is like the episode drilling home. Like, this is the calm before the fucking storm. Because you got this song playing, you got pod singing, and you're all just going to feel sad now.
Yeah.
And then also,
I got some pipes.
Yeah, he does, yeah. And then also, if you haven't watched it, did you watch the Florence and Machine thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. So if listeners or viewers haven't, so Florence and Machine did the full song, which Pod's singing, which is called Jenny and the Old Stones. You can find it on the Game
of Thrones. Jenny of the Old
Stones. Jenny of the Old Stones, sorry. Which you can find on the Game of Thrones YouTube, or just, you know, obviously Google it. And it's a sad as fuck song. And it's a lyric video that has a heap of montage parts from throughout the entirety of Game of Thrones. Time if this scenes from this episode, so it would be spoiler if you hadn't watched this one, but of course you have.
Yeah.
But it's got scenes from season one, all sorts of things, and it really just sets the mood as like it is the tone setting piece of this is it. This is the final episode before shit is on its way towards the finish line, and the next few episodes you aren't even fucking ready for what's gonna happen. That's all I got between Pod singing it and even the watching the Florence and Machine particular song. It really just set that mood. Do you get the similar vibes or?
Yeah, definitely. Well, it was beautifully put together, beautifully shot. Pod's voice was great, even though it's not quite Florence and the Machine. It's still good.
Florence Welch. Yeah.
Yeah, it was really good. And apparently people are reading into the song probably more than they should.
I think they're reading into it more than they should, yeah.
He was just singing the song.
Yeah.
And they're like, apparently the song's from the books as well, so.
Oh, nice.
But they just added the music to it, that's all.
Nice. So. It's cool.
Yeah.
It's a cool little trivia behind the scenes type thing, but yeah. Yeah. I was listening to the song before, and I was like, oh, such a, because I like Florence and Machine, right? So it's a new Florence and Machine song, for starters. Yeah. Then also tying it in, just getting ready to, like, amp myself up. Well, not even amp myself up, like emotionally try and prepare myself for next week. I'm like, I might just listen to this song a lot and just like try and get the sads already. But yeah, it's really good. You should check it out if you haven't already. So then we get Danny finding John down in the crypts and he is staring at the statue of one Lyanna Stark. And they have a little bit of back and forth, but eventually he just kind of just starts spitting out, I guess. She like comes down, obviously John throughout this entire episode had been doing the thing we discussed last episode of just ignoring her. Like, remember what last episode where it was like, do you reckon John will just ignore her at all points in time after this? And he did. It like just stood up, leave the room. Just
avoided her as much as he possibly could.
And like, you could tell that she was like, the fuck is his problem right now? But she finds him down in the crypt and then she starts like trying to corners him. She tries having a little bit of back and forth, like a bit of a mood breaker, but eventually John's just like, I guess in his mind he's just like, just say it. Because then he's like, he pretty much just spits it out. He's like, this is Lyanna Stark. She's like, oh, I heard about Rhaegar would rape her all the time and all these sorts of things. He's like, nah, they loved each other. And then you can tell she's like, what? Like,
What
are you saying right now? And then he explains it all, pretty much how Sam told him last episode, you know, like, la baby, gave to Ned Stark, blah, 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 blah. And he's like, and I am that baby. And then he has a cool line where he says, my real name is Aegon Targaryen. And she's like, takes a couple of steps back. It's just, you can tell she's a bit like, are you fucking with me right now? Because she doesn't seem to trust
him. Well, she questions it. She said, who told you this?
She's like,
and she says, Bran, and Sam checked it on paper and she's like, oh, so your brother and your best friend.
Mm, yeah. It's like, she's
like, oh, just trying to cast doubt over it and mm-hmm. everything. So
straight away trying to like,
not reliable sources.
Douse this fire.
This won't be admissible in court.
Yeah. and then she's like, you know, because if that's true, you would be the rightful heir to the throne. And he doesn't say anything, but she's just evil eyeing the fuck out of
him. The horn goes off, the White Walkers are there, and she keeps staring at him. You know, John's, you know, totally focused on that throne.
You really have to wonder, like, what would happen if that horn didn't go off, like, how this conversation would have kind of played out, of course.
Yeah.
Because I feel like...
a bit of stabbing, I think.
I feel like she's, like, come next episode, I feel like, obviously, whatever happens next episode, I'm hoping... And I'm presuming that she's not dumb enough to try and cause shit in amongst that big of a battle, but I feel like she could get distracted with the battle at hand, with thoughts about the throne and stuff. You know what I mean? Like, it could just be this distracting
thing. I reckon there'd be a moment where she's like, she could save John, and she hesitates.
And that causes him to potentially die?
Maybe.
No, I can't.
And then the red woman comes. No.
Fucking hell. Yeah, that's like,
no, comes flying out of nowhere.
John can't die. That's not gonna happen.
No.
She'll fucking die. Then so they're saved by the horn, the horn ringing off in the distance, and even though she death stares him, they end up racing up to the top of the castle together, and Tyrion is there staring off into the distance, and then the camera does this really, I thought it was a really cool shot the way they kind of did it, because it's like this shot of Tyrion, and then the camera just like kind of pans all the way out across the castle and all these sorts of things across the base. I'm like, fuck Tyrion, there's no way you can see them, bro, because you need binoculars because they're fucking ages away. But nonetheless, you see the two like lead, the Knights of the Dead Army, whatever you want to fucking call them, like, take a couple steps forward in front of the camera, and there they are. The Army of the Dead has arrived in front of Winterfell. But the biggest question, I think, and the only reason I clicked onto this is because in my notes, as I was watching it, I wrote down my note as the Night King has arrived. And then when I was going over my notes again before doing the show, I was like, but no, he hasn't. Do you reckon they purposely didn't show the Night King just for dramatic reasons? Or could the Night King actually be off somewhere else?
He's got to go stealth into the wild, weird wild, or weird,
the weird, weird one, the weird wood tree.
He's going to assassinate Bran.
You reckon?
So he's going to use that sweet stealth, that Night King stealth.
What, the Night King stealth that he's fucking riding on a dragon in on?
Yeah, he's going to ride a dragon really high with an anvil.
Yeah, maybe.
He's just going to drop it.
I was like, there's like a couple things. The most obvious one to me is just simply that they don't show him because they want him to have an epic entrance next week or something like that. That seems like the most obvious one. But then I'm like, surely would have ended the episode with like the roar of the dragon in the distance. Don't show the dragon because that obviously ups the episode budget. But like just putting the roar of it in the background, I feel like would have made sense if the dragon was there to really like end the episode on this. Oh fuck. Yeah, that's right. They have a dragon, kind of didn't forget, but nearly forgot kind of thing. And it really would have scared the shit out of everyone at Winterfell. Obviously, if you hear this roar, camera's panning out and you see Tyrion, be like, oh fuck. Like, you know, like I feel like that's an even bigger, oh fuck, if you just hear the dragon, and that doesn't up the budget. But having not seen all that, I was like, you know, I was kicking around in my head. I'm like, what if he sends all these people to Winterfell and he's taken off on his dragon to King's Landing? Like, would that be possible? Maybe. Would he ever ditch the army to go just like fuck up King's Landing on the dragon by himself or something?
By himself, I guess, maybe. But he wants Bran. He's like, he needs him.
Yeah.
He's got that low tracker on him, the tracking thing on him.
His arm, yeah. That's the other thing with Bran and that thing. He's like, he's marked me. Everyone's just like,
yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Cool tattoo, Bran. All right, calm down, you badass. No need to show off. Yeah, but I don't know. Like, I think this is just something I could be most likely just reading into a bit much. But I was just like, you know, they didn't show the Night King. They showed the undead is there. They didn't show the Night King though. Don't know if it's important though. Really don't know. Any other random tidbits from this episode you want to talk about? Anything missed or last thoughts or anything?
No, I think we covered pretty much everything. It was a great episode. Watched it twice.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
I was sitting watching it and then it started playing again. I'm like, oh, might as well watch it again.
When did it start playing again? Start playing again? It's just like
right after it aired.
Oh, okay, radio.
Fuck, they aired the episode again, so.
Nice.
I was sitting there and I'm like, I could watch this again.
Yeah, I could watch it again too. I Yeah. I will watch it again one day.
Yep.
Yeah. How about next week? What? Any final prayers or what do you want to say? Everyone dies. Of course, we've done our predictions. We've done our predictions. I mean, who dies and stuff. But yeah.
Yeah.
What do you reckon?
It's going to be brutal. It's going to be very one-sided. And we're only episode 3. I mean, there's still 3 episodes to go after this one.
Yeah, but
they've upped the runtime. Apparently,
this is the longest episode now. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's definitely going to be a long extended battle with ups and downs, probably a lot of downs.
They keep
Grey Worm's definitely going to kick it. And
they keep promoting it as the longest battle sequence ever shown on film or TV.
Yeah, they were comparing it to Lord of the Rings and stuff. Yeah. So, yeah.
They're bigger than the Battle of Helm's Deep, they were saying.
Yeah. So
the big words.
Maybe Winterfell Falls.
Winterfallen.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah, I mean, it's a very long episode. It's like an hour 20. I don't know if I can handle an hour 20 of brutality. Maybe I'll have to pause it, like watch it over a couple of days.
No.
Maybe it'll just be too brutal to watch.
Let it wash over you.
Let it wash over you. I don't know. Honestly, it's like, the closer we get and like watching this episode and just being so happy seeing all these characters and stuff, they've really fucked me because I'm like, you are doing what you want to do. You're like, hey, you love all these characters. Man. I'm like,
you made me love all these characters.
That's the thing. I'm like, they're like, you love all these characters. I'm like, yeah, I do. I like them. And they're like, yeah, you do. Guess what? I'm like, what? Game of Thrones. Most of them are going to die next week. I'm like, no. Don't do it to me. But yeah, fuck, I'm excited for next week. I'm pretty fucking excited. And yeah, I'm gonna throw it out here right now, right? So we're filming this before we've seen Endgame or episode 3, obviously. And I'm just gonna say, like, if I had to pick between watching episode 3 of this or Endgame, I'd pick episode 3 of this. Just saying.
Lucky we don't have to choose.
But I'm just saying, like, that's how excited I am for the episode 3 and how much more keen I'd be to watch it, especially because I know they'll actually like kill characters and like
Which one do you want to watch next is probably the port. If you could choose between having to wait
episode 3 and then Endgame after, because it's probably going to be more uplifting.
That's true. There's more likely to be a happy ending.
It's more likely to have an happy ending. So yeah. Anyway, thank you for joining us this week on South of King's Landing. Of course, you can watch the video version of this show over at youtube.com/explosionnetwork, where you should subscribe to the channel, like the video, and ring the bell so you can alarm that sets off to let you know that White Walkers are indeed on the way, and also let you know when the next episode of this drops. Or if you'd rather just listen to the show, you can do that. It's available on all podcasting services, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Just search for South of King's Landing or Explosion Network and scroll through and find it that way, whatever takes your fancy. You can follow me on Twitter at VivaLadil, VivaLadil. You can follow Ash on Twitter at Ashley Harvey, AshleyHobley. And you can follow the Explosion Network, of which this is a product of, at Explosion Pod. And you should head on over to explosionnetwork.com as well to check out all our other cool things, including our movie and TV podcast. What do you want to watch? Because if you're watching this, you probably like movie and TV. Thank you. Until next week, the North remembers. Unless they all die.